are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball!
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Pistons podcast. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Per usual, I am your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter at Kuka Hill NBA. You can find me over on YouTube at Kuka's Ballroom. You can also find me over at Detroit Bad Boys, writing articles about the Pistons. I plan on getting a little bit more active over there on those two other platforms, but this is my main focus, as you guys know. But on today's podcast, we're joined by Bryce from Motor City Hoops. Obviously, we have some news to talk about from the past weekend. You guys know I'm probably like a little bit depressed. Bryce told me before we started the podcast, I've actually done a decent job like not showing it on Twitter. I haven't like been going out of my way to talk about it. I've been trying to like, you know, stay low key about it. But
yo, bro, for real, like, so this dropped Friday. We had a high school football game, which was the worst time for it to drop. And then I had a wedding yesterday, which would have been Saturday. So football game Friday night, wedding Saturday. So I haven't really been on Twitter a ton and been able to follow it as much as I wanted. But I'm just like, you know, obviously I follow you and check your tweets out. I'm like, okay, who's keeping it together? Like, who's being, you know, unbiased and trying to look at it from all sides? Like, I feel like you've been playing it well. Like, I mean, that's not just because we're boys and we record. Like, I'm for real. Like, I'd be real with you if I thought, like, man, like, you're really going over the top. Like, I feel like you've kept it pretty good.
Thank you, man. I've tried, man. You know, I think it has. Thank God it happened when, you know, Drake dropped Certified Lover Boy, or I would have been, if I would have been worse, because I've just been listening to Drake and playing MLB The Show. By the way, before we get into anything, everybody who's listened to Drake's album, make sure you guys go and tweet me or let me know in the reviews down below what your favorite song on the album is. I have too many to go through. I'm not going to name it because I'll be here for a while. But anyways, so yeah.
Do not at me in any of those tweets because I won't know what you're talking about.
I don't know how Bryce doesn't know anything about these albums. He like lives under a rock or something, man. I don't get it. I don't know how he does it.
Yo, I'll send you. I'll start tweeting the next time a country singer drops a new album or something like that.
Fair enough. So let's go ahead and get into it. So obviously, unless you've been living under the same rock Bryce lives under with this music and stuff.
Out here, everyone in knows.
Everyone knows the Pistons traded Sekou Doumbouya. It sucks to say that, honestly, out loud. But the Pistons traded Sekou Doumbouya, Jahlil Okafor, for DeAndre Jordan. And we now know the second-round picks, which they are. They are the 2022 Brooklyn second-round pick, the 2024 Washington second-round pick, the 2025 Golden State second-round pick, and the 2027 Brooklyn second-round pick. Actually, reading this actually is surprising. I thought the Pistons got one of their second-round picks in return.
I thought those were our picks coming back. So is that not true? I thought, yeah, that's what I thought as well.
I'm not sure. I'm reading them right now, and it doesn't look like any of them are from the Pistons, which it might be a typo. Chris, when I saw on Bleacher Report, it was one of them. But this is ESPN, and they're saying no. So I don't know. But either way, the Pistons got 4 second-round picks in return for Sekou Doumbouya and Jahlil Okafor, and to eat DeAndre Jordan's contract, which they just bought him out, and he's going to sign with the Los Angeles Lakers. Bryce, before I give my thoughts on it, just when this trade dropped, what was your reaction, and what do you think about the trade as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I was sad. I don't want to say I was upset, but I had sold myself on the fact that Sekou was going to be a part of the rotation this year, and we were going to give him a chance. And I had just done the breakdown. We talked about this before we recorded for Detroit Bad Boys. And it had been out for like a day. And so luckily I got it to drop, and maybe some Nets fans are going to use it now. But I really wanted to see it, Koo. Like, I wanted to see Sekou and get those consistent minutes, 18 to 20 minutes a night for 82 games. And could he be this great off-ball mover and maybe play with more energy and block some shots, you know, coming from the weak side like we had seen in summer league? And I was intrigued by his ability to switch out on the perimeter. So, like, It's 1 year too early for me, or at least a half season too early for me, Ku. And so I was a little disappointed. I wanted to see it play out. In terms of the return, it doesn't move the needle for me. Like 4 second round picks, like maybe they end up getting packaged for something else. I mean, I'm not going to get crazy worked up about it, but I'll just say, like, I wanted to see Sekou for another season in Detroit.
Yeah, so, you know, you guys already know how I feel about Sekou. It definitely was sad for me to see him go. You guys know I'm a big Sekou guy. I know a lot of you guys don't really believe in him, but, you know, you guys know I was a big Sekou guy, but trying to be objective about it. So I think there's multiple different ways to look at it. So, and literally, if you followed me on Twitter, you've seen me, like, flip-flop back and forth in, like, multiple different angles. Because I'm trying to be objective, but I keep seeing, like, I don't really know how I feel exactly, basically is what I'm saying. I'm trying to see it from all different angles, and I can't, like, settle into a spot that I feel comfortable with yet. So on one hand, they never believed in Sekou, really. I mean, I think everyone knows that from the quotes that we had heard, what they've said about Sekou and resembled with his minutes on the court, etc. They never really believed in Sekou. So to be able to move him and Jahlil Okafor, someone who had no use on the roster and you were probably going to end up waiving anyways, to be able to move them for 4 second round picks, I think you'd look at that on face value as a win. Obviously, that I made a point to say this on Twitter as well. Don't get confused. They didn't get 4 second round picks because they traded Sekou. They got 4 second round picks because they ate DeAndre Jordan's contract and took $47 million off the Brooklyn Nets salary cap. I believe they were over in the luxury, and that helped them free up $47 million in cap room. So that's why they got 4 second round picks. It wasn't because they got rid of Sekou. That's one. So I think if you look at it from that angle, the Pistons got what they needed. If you're looking at it from Troy Rivers' point of view of the Pistons, which I think I'm trying to do here, I'm sure they probably look at this as a massive W because they get 4 second round picks for two guys they don't really care about. And the dead cap this season doesn't really matter because they're not trying to win as much this year. And they already have the guys that they want on the team, which Torrey Weaver told us before the season, like the beginning of the offseason, I should say, that he wanted to bring back his guys and he didn't really plan on doing anything else. And we all, like, I mean, I even said I didn't really believe him. And we're at the end of offseason and he backed up his word. He brought back everyone he wanted and basically added just rookies and Kelly Olynyk. So you look at it from that direction, I think obviously the Pistons probably look at this as a massive W. The other angle I look at it from that makes me feel like this made – that makes me not like this trade. And this is not even me being a fan. This is like me being objective. I think a lot of people I've interacted with so far about it can at least see it from this angle as well. Moving Sekou at 20 years old when he has a ton of potential still, no matter how you feel about him right now, you can't deny he has potential and he's 20 years old and you just taken him in the first round 2 years ago. To move him at 20, 2 years into his career, and not to give him that like half, like at least like Bryce said, a half a year in his 30 year, see what he had. And from my opinion, what he looked like, he had finally like started to break through a little bit towards the end of last season. I think it's kind of it was too fast to do so. And I asked this question on Twitter: is moving Sekou and eating $14 million worth four second round picks? Like, is that worth it to you? And I'm sure a lot of people disagree on that. I'm sure some people say yes, some people say no. Me personally, I feel like the Pistons could have avoided all these issues about needing roster spot. They just didn't sign Rodney Magruder back or Corey Joseph, or just simply waived Jahlil Okafor. And they could have got the guys they wanted and kept Sekou on the team. Like, Sekou didn't even need to play. Like, I was getting ready to record an episode saying that Sekou could have just kept him in the G League all year and just seen how he progressed down there. Like, if you didn't want him in the rotation, that's fine. You could just let him down there and continue to grow because he's 20 years old. So I feel like that was a missed opportunity. And I feel like that was a bad handling of assets. I do believe Sekou should have been an asset for the Pistons simply because he was a first-round pick, and at 20 years old, you should be trying to get the most out of what you have. So, I don't know. I get it from both perspectives. I don't know where to land, and I'm probably somewhere in the middle. I'm like Bryce said, I'm not losing sleep, but I'm not going to, like, it's not nothing too big, but I'm somewhere in the middle about how I feel about the trade. And in the end, it's not going to matter a whole lot, but yeah, that's where I'm at right now with the trade.
Yeah, so I mean, I just kind of wonder why they felt the need to move on from Sekou. Like, again, we've talked about this before, Ku, like wishing we could listen in on these conversations and what goes into these decisions. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I know more than anybody, because obviously I don't. But I would like to know why. Like, and I don't need to know why. They don't have any obligation to tell me. I just, my own curiosity was like, had they seen enough from Sekou to be like, no, we don't believe in him? Was it a thing? Like, do they really look at this and like, oh, we have a chance to move Sekou and Okafor and get 4 second round picks? Was it like the value of those 4 second round picks along with, like you brought up, you know, we get 4 because we're taking Jordan's dead money? Or are they opening up for somebody else? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wonder what the angle is, because I don't see any reason that this had to happen right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what's confusing to me, I guess, is why wouldn't you want to see another at least half a season from Sekou? It's not like the return was so crazy for him that it just blew you away. And so, and a lot of that had to do with eating the contract anyway. So I'm just curious, like, are they really done with him, or are they making a move to open up for something else?
So this will be my last point, then we can go to ad break. This will be the last time you guys have to worry about us talking about Sekou again. But going off what you said, Bryce, that's the thing that really confuses me about it, is that people are acting like, and this is where I really started to argue with fans, and I really disagree with a lot of you guys that feel this way. Sorry, my phone just went off. Sekou did not net the Pistons these 4 second round picks. They got the 4 second round picks because they ate a contract. Like, it was not because Sekou's value was anywhere. Like, I'm assuming Sekou had zero value at all, like nothing. It had nothing to do with getting Sekou that they got these 4 second round picks. So that leads me to believe, like, why, like, I'm sure you could have found a trade offer somewhere, like, towards the middle of the season if he hadn't shown you anything, or you still didn't believe him, that you could have ate a contract and got some second round picks for Sekou if that was what you wanted to do. I feel like that would have been a better route to go to see, like, did he actually improve? Do we have something here? Is he going in the right direction at 20 years old? Do we have something? And if you say no, then okay, then move on. But I definitely feel like this is rushed. I mean, it's not a big deal. It's not going to handicap the team or anything. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I just feel like this move was rushed, and I feel like there is a little bit of a pattern here that it hasn't crippled the Pistons yet. But we're not going to get too far into this, but there is a little bit of a pattern that I feel like the Torrey was showing, that he's a little bit reckless with asset management, and it's starting to worry me a little bit for the future. It hasn't crippled the Pistons yet, but I feel like he's starting to show a little bit of a pattern that he doesn't really value certain things how he should, I think. But we can talk about it another time. But Sekou, Dumboya, gone. Jahlil Okafor, gone. Pistons, buy out DeAndre Jordan, receive 4 second round picks, and open up a roster spot. And coming up, we'll talk about what do we think the Pistons are going to do with said roster spot they now have open. They went from having 16 to 14, so now they have an open spot. Before we get into that, though, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, Stat Hero. Did you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Trust me, I know that because I lose a lot. Is that really surprising, though? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You just don't stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sportsbook that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes, winner takes all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you the lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up for free, and right now you can get 3 times back on your first play. They're giving you 300% match. That's unheard of. Just go to stathero.com/lockedon and check it all out. Place Stat Hero now and change the odds. Again, make sure you go to stathero.com/lockedon to give it your own try. What's the deal, guys? There are some things in life that you just don't really want to talk about. You know, issues in a relationship, family problems, or more importantly, sweating through your t-shirt in the public for no reason when out with the boys. Yeah, you heard me right. Everyone has been there, including myself. Simply wearing deodorant doesn't help it either. But SweatBlock antiperspirant wipes can help. SweatBlock is doctor-created and doctor-recommended. You simply apply it at night before bedtime and go to bed. Then wake up the next day and do your normal routines like nothing ever happened. Except this time, without the worry of sweating through your t-shirt. SweatBlock works for up to 7 days per use and has a dry shirt guarantee. If SweatBlock doesn't keep your shirt dry, you get your money back instantly. If you or someone you know is dealing with this worst issue in life of sweating through your t-shirt, tell them all about SweatBlock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON. Again, get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and CVS. Get Sweat Block now and stop sweating. All right, Bryce. So we're coming back from the ad break. I'm trying not to make this about a player that we don't have anymore. So, or the Pistons don't have anymore. I shouldn't say we. But the Pistons have created an open roster spot. I think that is probably outside of whether the Pistons should have traded Sekou. Outside was the value worth it for second round picks. I think the most interesting part about this trade is, and there's also another something else we're going to talk about with the rotation as well. But they opened up a roster spot. So Bryce, I think we've seen a couple people speculate about what they could possibly do with this roster spot. What do you think they are going to do? And if you have your own little twist that you want to throw out there, that may not be what they are going to do, but what you think could do that you would like to see, you could throw that out there as well if you have that.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I think the one that's been brought up a lot that you're talking about, and we were in a group message with one of the beat writers and a fan that this kind of got brought up and was alluded to, was that you move Luke Garza to a roster spot, fills that roster spot off of his two-way, and Jamarco Pickett then goes off his Exhibit 10 into that second two-way that Garza's taking right now. I'm fine with that, I guess, Koo, but that doesn't really move the needle for me. I guess deep down, I'm kind of hoping this means there's another move somewhere. Like maybe there's I don't know who the guy is. You know, I don't know who's floating out there in free agency right now. I don't know who maybe is on the trade block right now. I'm not talking like a Ben Simmons type move that's been talked about more recently. But if maybe there's a player out there with some high upside that this roster spot needed to open up for, or one that we could trade for, that we could bring in. I think honestly, that's kind of where I'm at with it. I would like to, this would make it a little more exciting if we brought in somebody like that. If it's just move Luka Garza up and Jamarco Pickett into the two way, like that's fine. It's whatever. But that wouldn't really excite me quite as much as maybe somebody that's not on my radar right now.
So I have a few things to say about this open roster spot. So first up, I think, and we've had people talk about this, like you said, and it's been rumored a little bit that the Pistons may just give Luka Garza a full roster spot, and that's why they made this move, because they were impressed by him in the summer league. I'll say this, if that's what they do, I will be heavily disappointed that that's why they moved Sekou and Jahlil Okafor and 8 dead cap, just so they could make room to give Luka Garza a full roster spot based off summer league play. There's two reasons why. One, I just heavily doubt right now, and we've talked about this before, I just really doubt that Luka Garza is ready for NBA caliber defense where he can actually stay on the floor in the NBA right now. That's
right
not
now,
saying
yeah,
he
correct.
Yeah, right now. That's not saying he can't maybe not do it in the future, but right now I think it's kind of crazy to think he could. That's just my opinion. And secondly, I really hope our GM and people aren't making these kind of moves based off summer league play of 5 games against like lesser than G League competition. Like, I just hope that's not what we're doing this off of. Now, they may have just wanted to do this even before then. Like, even before, they may have just said, hey, we want to get this guy a roster spot, and the summer league just reaffirmed it. Maybe that's what it was. But I would be disappointed if it's to give Luka Garza a full roster spot, because they wanted to give him a full roster spot. I feel like they should have done that. They should have just done that and not gave Ronnie Magruder a contract. The Ronnie Magruder signing is really, like, I won't say dumb. Let me not say that. Really confusing to me why they insisted on bringing him back if it was going to put them in this kind of situation. It just really doesn't make sense to me. I understand roster and you need veteran leadership, but I feel like that's a little bit, you're overvaluing a little bit if you're having to go through all these hoops to make it work with Ronnie Magruder. That's just my opinion with it. So I would be a little disappointed if it was just to move Luka Garza up. There's another possibility to get Pickett a roster spot because they really liked what they saw from him in summer league. That's another thing that I won't say I'm like disappointed. I don't know if disappointed would be the word. I just would be a little bit confused because I would avoid giving like guys full roster guarantees based off summer league play of 5 games. Like if they want to give them an exhibit 10 or they want to give them a two-way or something like that, then go ahead. I mean, they also could do that. They could give Luka Garza like a full roster spot, and then I think they could give his two-way to Pickett. I believe that could work. I'm not sure. I think that they could do that. I mean, I guess that could make sense. But I don't know. I would much rather prefer, like Bryce said, and I think it would be more interesting and more fun, honestly. I think that's really why I'm saying this. But it would be more interesting and fun if they like use those second-round picks to then go trade for someone else at another position, or use those second-round picks to then move somebody else at another position logjam like maybe even Josh Jackson moved him off or moved any other player off to create more like opportunity in rotation right now. So, but I think the most likely thing that's going to happen, I think my, if you had to make me predict, I think they're going to move Luka Garza up to a four roster spot and then give Pickett the two way. That would be my prediction.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably what's going to happen. And again, like that just doesn't move the needle for me. And so I'm with you. Like if all of this was done solely to open up the roster spot, then I don't agree with it. If it was done because, again, whether they value those 4 second round picks that much or it was time to move on from Sekou, they had seen enough, then that's another thing. But I, like you say, I hope we didn't have to make this move just to open up, you know, spots to get Luka Garza on the 15-man roster and Jamarco Pickett into a two-way. If it was made for that, I wouldn't necessarily agree with the decision. That's probably not something we'll ever know. But again, not to repeat what I said and what you've said also, I would be more interested in bringing somebody outside the organization right now. Not even necessarily a vet or anything like that. You know, another young upside player. I like to call them lottery tickets that maybe struggled to start their career, but a change of scenery could help out or something like that. Maybe fans are tired of those, but I'd rather number 15 spot on the roster be used for a player in that mold.
So this is something I'm going to throw out to people. And if I know I'm going to get some heat for this, but I this is just how I look at it right now. If the Pistons, let's say they give Luka Garza this opening spot, if all of this was done, they're basically like at the end of the day, like you're basically saying that the Pistons had, they moved Sekou Doumbouya, they moved Jahlil Okafor, they ate dead cap for this year and next year that totals to $14 million, I believe right now. And they did all that. So you're eating $14 million in cap space, moved off a 20-year-old with potential to sign, to give Luka Garza a second round pick. If you value Luka Garza that highly, I just disagree with that. That's just basically why I would be disappointed if all of this was only because they wanted to give Luka Garza a roster spot. That's when I would just be like, that kind of goes back to my point earlier that I think Troy Weaver is starting to show a pattern of being a little reckless with asset management, because I don't think that would be the best use of his assets to do that.
Can I ask something real quick from you, Koo?
Did
you, whenever the trade first happened, did you have any interest in all that maybe we would keep DeAndre Jordan? Like, did you, was there any reaction initially like, oh, this may be like the lob threat, the vertical, like I realize DeAndre Jordan's getting older, but did you think that was a possibility at all? Like for any second, did you like, okay, like, all right, well, we're trying to win now more than what we thought we were.
No, because I would have done that and then quickly shot back down to earth. But the reason why I never really thought about it is because I believe like a week beforehand, Woj had tweeted out that him and Brooklyn were already working towards a buyout. So I figured if he got traded somewhere, they were basically trading him somewhere that could get the buyout done for him. That basically was my assumption. He's obviously not that good anymore, but it sure would have been interesting to see like a lob threat, because you know me and you really wanted a lob threat on the team.
Yeah, and again, by no means am I trying to overvalue what DeAndre Jordan is anymore, but I'm just like, sometimes I wonder like, you know, what if we just would have kept him? Like instead of eating this, and DeAndre Jordan I'm sure didn't want to play for the Pistons, he wanted to end up in LA obviously, but you know what, why not just keep the guy on the roster and see, you know, if he could have filled a void there for us. You know, maybe now you have too many guys at the five, which is definitely the case, but I don't know, like kind of initially I was like, oh, vertical threat guy that can jump and catch lobs. And then, like you said, then you kind of come back down to earth really quick. So I didn't know if you went down that path, that rabbit hole at all, kind of the way I did initially.
No, Woj saved me from doing that. he saved me from doing it. But the last thing I'll say, and then we can go to the ad break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about the rotation, if this helps the rotation at all, give us a better idea of it heading into the preseason. Again, I just want to say that I think we need to keep an eye out on this. So, like, it hasn't crippled the Pistons yet, and most of Troy Weaver's moves have turned out to work, and everyone's saying, like, you know, he's a secret genius, he has a secret plan behind it. And that's all fine and dandy, but I'm telling you, this is something that you need to keep your eye on, his asset management and how he's using. Like right now, it's not hurting the Pistons. The fact he keeps stretching and keeps waving people and eating money. And I understand people are saying that, like, you know, He won't do that once the Pistons want to start winning. And obviously, that sounds like that's going to be the case. But like that doesn't mean 100% is going to be like that, because like just keep an eye out on it, because he definitely seems to be like very, like he doesn't seem to care very much at all about waving and stretching and eating money and possibly moving assets that don't like and not getting like the proper value back as long as he gets his guy. I think he's showing a little bit of a pattern about that. Nothing crippling yet, but I think it's something you need to watch for when the Pistons actually start competing and make sure he doesn't like. Just to confirm, like that's what we're saying. Like we're all saying that this is something that he's doing simply because the Pistons are losing right now, and it's not because they're competitive. I think it's just something to make sure that is the case, that it's not going to continue when they actually start competing. So when we come back, like I said, we're going to talk a little bit about the rotation. Does trading Sekou and Jahlil Okafor help give us a better idea of what the rotation is going to be, how they're going to work it out? Does this open up a spot for possibly Josh Jackson rotation? I know we talked about that many times, about where is he going to find his minutes. Could we possibly see like four guard lineups? Who knows? We'll talk about that when we come back. Before we do, though, let me tell you about another one of our sponsors, rockauto.com. You ever need a part for your car? Head to the store, go through a ton of confusing questioning just for one of the workers to tell you that they don't have the parts that you're looking for? I know I have. That's why you should avoid all these problems. Rock with another one of our sponsors, rockauto.com. Find whatever part you're looking for on your computer or in your hand on your phone by using rockauto.com. Don't worry about having to create an account or making a membership. Just head over to rockauto.com and start shopping. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest and most reliable prices. Head over to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. So Bryce, before we get into this, let me just say, if your wife's listening to this, or if you tell her about this, I just want to say, you're digging yourself. You're digging you to a bigger hole here, because Shang-Chi just came out and it was absolutely amazing. And you have to go check it out. I'm sure all the listeners who have seen it, tweet me. Let me know what you guys thought about. We can talk about it. You can also put in the reviews down below what you guys thought about the movie. I love the movie. It absolutely was amazing. And I really want Bryce to go see these damn Marvel movies so we can see.
I don't even know what Shang-Chi. You're talking about right now. What is Shang-Chi?
You didn't hear about Shang-Chi dropping? You haven't seen nothing about that?
No, I literally have no idea what you're talking about right now.
Shang-Chi was a new Marvel movie that dropped on Friday. It's like it was the first Asian-led American superhero movie, and it was just fantastic. It was monstrous. It was amazing, and you have to go see it at some point. Ever in your life, you need to go see this movie.
I don't like movie theaters, so can I wait till it's out on Netflix or something?
Yeah, it'll be on Disney Plus in 40 days, so you got till then to catch up on all the Marvel movies.
40 days, I'm putting it in my calendar right now. We actually do have Disney Plus because we have three little kids, so 40 days from now. Let me do the math for a second.
I believe that would be around October. My basic math would be October 14th. Would I be right that?
You would not be right. That would be close. No, you would be right. Yeah, that'd be close.
So fair enough. But while Bryce is doing that, we're going to talk about the rotation with the Pistons. Bryce, you can interrupt me as soon as you find out what date that is so we can hold you to it. But the Pistons, obviously, they 15th, trade Sekou.
15th.
The 15th. Damn it, I was just a day off. But anyways, we're going to hold you to that. Everybody, October 15th, write it down. If Bryce doesn't watch all the Marvel movies and get caught up by then, we're not holding it against them.
No, I'm watching that one in 40 days, not the other
ones
before.
Don't watch that one if you haven't seen the rest. Just don't. Okay, how about this? On the 15th, you have to at least see Phase 4 or Phase 5 movies and shows before then. So that would be WandaVision and Loki.
I don't know. Let's get back to the Pistons.
Bryce is getting stressed. But, okay. All right, so they traded Sekou and Jahlil Okafor and bought out DeAndre Jordan. They now have an open spot on the roster. We've talked about potentially what they could do with the roster spot, but now let's talk about, does this help to give you an idea of what they're going to do with the rotation? Bryce, does this do anything for you with the rotation, or do you think that it's not really moving the needle, or it's not really giving us any more of an insight on what they're going to do with the rotation?
No, I'm honestly really, I mean, I'm intrigued in a way to see what's going to happen. You brought up Josh Jackson. I just recorded with Keith Black Trudeau for the Motor City Hoops podcast. And he brought up Josh Jackson. I would be intrigued to see Josh Jackson at the four. Like, that wouldn't bother me at all. You know, we talked, I've talked about this being a year still for the Pistons, even though we want to win, it's a year to try things out and see what could work. So I'm cool with that. I know a lot of Pistons fans aren't going to like this, but I don't mind seeing Isaiah Stewart and Kelly Olynyk on the floor together, whichever one you want to call the four. I think you would call Isaiah Stewart the four in terms of defense. So I wouldn't mind seeing that. I mean, you could go really small. Like, do you want to see Sadiq Bey play some four maybe? You could quote-unquote technically play Cade Cunningham at the four. I know a lot of people have talked about Isaiah Livers. Cade might be a little thin yet to play the four, but a lot of people have talked about Isaiah Livers, but I don't even know if we know what his health situation is now. So I don't know, but because I don't know, Koo, it kind of intrigues me and excites me to think about what we may see there.
So this is what I'll say about this. This is, at first I thought this opened up a spot for Josh Jackson potentially in the roster and not the roster, the rotation. Maybe they just tried out four guards. Maybe they have something like Killian, Killian, Frank Jackson, Hamidou Diallo, Josh, and then just a big, whichever big guy you want to pick from that in that rotation, whatever, line from the floor, Kelly Olynyk, Isaiah Stewart, one of those two. I thought maybe they could do that. I'm sure we'll probably see that lineup, to be honest. I think we'll see like a lot of four-guard lineups because that's the son, Dwayne Casey's not scared to try out and do. So I wouldn't be shocked if we saw a lot of those, like just crazy guard lineups with like four, or not guards. I mean, you could call two of them wings, but you guys know what I'm saying. Like four undersized guys around the, and then surrounding a center. Maybe they could do that. I wouldn't be shocked if they do that, but this is something that's popped into my head a little bit. First of all, actually, let me say this. If Trey Lyles becomes a regular part of the rotation, I promise you I'll scratch my eyes out and I'll find a new team to watch. I will not sit here and watch Trey Lyles play regular rotational minutes.
I purposely left him out. I tried not to bring him up just for you.
Yeah, I can't. If Trey Lyles is a regular part of the rotation, I legit would jump off my building.
What do you think about Sadiq playing some time at the four? Like, I feel like he's strong enough to hold up defensively. And, you know, I don't know. I've always seen him as more of a 3-4 than a 3-2, if that makes sense to the listeners. Like, more of a small forward, power forward type player than a small forward shooting guard. Do you see him the same way or no?
Yes, I completely agree with you on that. I don't see him as a shooting guard. I do see him as like a small forward, power forward. And I think something that like maybe, I mean, this may be something they thought about when, after seeing this in the summer league, but something he did in the summer league was rebound really well. He was down the on the glass playing really strong and active on the glass because they needed him to. Now, obviously, that's summer league and that's the competition, like we've mentioned multiple times before, is not the same. And it's hard to like take away stuff from that. But if they believe that he can like be active on the board to help down there, and I think he did a pretty decent job of that as well last year when he had to. And like we've mentioned before, he's really strong, built out body. So I think he could probably handle that down there. So if they wanted to, they could probably do that and try to find more minutes for him there when Jeremy said slide him up. And I don't know, that whatever they want to do with that. But I wouldn't be shocked if we saw that there. Like I said, I wouldn't be shocked if we saw four guards, etc. there. But my wild card, that thing is going to happen. And you brought it up. I think they want to give Isaiah Livers minutes. Not out the gate. One of you guys tweeted me and asked me if he would be in the rotation out the gate. I'm not sure because we haven't really gotten much clarity on his injury. I know he's still dealing with that foot injury that he dealt with at Michigan his final year that held him out of the tournament. But right now, I don't know if he's going to be in at the beginning, but I think they want to at some point have like a spot there for him to try to take during the season. I think that definitely helped move it open by Train Sekou. Because I refuse to believe they actually want to see Trey Lyles play. And I pray that's not the case. But I'm looking at this article right now from the Detroit News, and it says that Isaiah Livers spoke to the media and he said the latest his doctor told him was November 1st that he could be cleared to play 5-on-5. So we're still 2 months away from him being cleared to play 5-on-5 basketball. Then we're talking about him getting back into NBA shape, catching on to the NBA game. So we could be talking about possibly him being in the rotation like maybe February, March kind of thing. But I think at some point that – go ahead.
No, I just said when I had Omari Sankofa from the Free Press on, that's kind of what he alluded to, that like I don't want to put words in his mouth, but if I remember correctly, he kind of alluded to maybe Isaiah Livers wasn't a guy we were going to see a lot of with the Pistons this season, just because of that injury. So, I mean, I agree with you. I do think there's been enough chatter that I feel like they do like Livers. And if we were talking about the start of next season, I think I would maybe agree a little bit more that the plan was for him. But man, this season, there's still, I mean, I don't want to say there's a hole because obviously we've brought up plenty of options, but I don't think there's just an obvious option for who's going to get the minutes there.
Yeah, I agree with that. There is, it's going to be extremely fun. And I think me and you have talked about this already, that like the position battles and what happens in the preseason is going to be like some of the most fun things to like see at the beginning of the season and the preseason throughout training camp, reading about it, how it's going. Like, I think that's the most interesting part about the Pistons right now outside of Kay Cunningham, obviously at number one. But yeah, I mean, I think there's plenty of speculation that to be had about what's going to happen with the rotation, because I mean, we've brought this up many times. I feel like we're just like repeating ourselves a lot, but it, like Frank Jackson, I feel like he has to get minutes somewhere. Josh, I mean, I don't think they would have kept Josh if they didn't want him to play. And then also Hamidou Diallo just got brought back and he's like a big piece, I think. So they want to get minutes for all three of those guys. But then you also got Corey Joseph who was brought back. You got Saben Lee. And then, like, none of those guys you think really are fours. Like, maybe Josh. But I think Josh, like, I don't believe Josh is 6'8", by the way. It says he's 6'8". I don't believe that. My boy saw him at the club last week at, what was it, two? All these clubs are, like, numbers. It's not three.
Don't ask me. You know I won't have a clue.
But it was at some club, basically, and they saw him. And they were like, there's no way he's 6'8". And he's also like not that big either. He's very thin.
Very slight. No, that is true. And that's kind of a theme with a few of those guys, right? Cade, Hami, Josh Jackson, you know, those guys definitely are a little more slighter, you know, and maybe a little tougher to hold up if someone tried to really just take him down into the post and bully him. But, you know, Hami and JJ both are really good rebounders. JJ is a great shot blocker, really, really good athletes, those two guys. You know, maybe this just came down to opening up minutes, you know, maybe they just didn't see a path to give Sekou playing time. And so they had to make a decision knowing that they were going to have 11 or 12 guys that were going to be, I don't want to say unhappy, but if they didn't get some consistent rotational minutes, maybe, you know, they would get unhappy or not be pleased with it, you know, because I think there's a couple guys you can look at and say, all right, if they don't get a ton of playing time, that's okay. But I want to see Josh Jackson on the floor again, kind of just to see what he can do this year. I obviously, you know how high I am on Hami and Frank Jackson, and maybe this was the path to get those guys some playing time.
I mean, I hope so, because, and this will be the last thing I say, and then we can wrap up the podcast, but I feel like those three guys that we keep mentioning, all of them have like potential to like be on this team moving forward. Like, Josh really showed a lot of positive things when he was healthy, and he had stretches where he looked really, like, yes. I'm not just, like, saying, like, good. Like, he looked really good for, like, some stretches of the season. Like, there were stretches where he looked like he could possibly be a starter in the NBA kind of thing. Like, his two-way potential and the times that he actually had a shot going, he was getting to the rim and getting free throws. Like, he looked like a legit NBA starter in some of those stretches. And then he would have really down spells. So, it's like, So it's like with his story, can Josh Jackson stay consistent? Can Josh Jackson keep that starting level contributions throughout a whole season? Can he stay locked in like that? Can Hamidou Diallo reach this potential that he has that to be like a really good starter in the NBA? We saw some of that a little bit last year, some of the potential coming out of him. And then you also got Frank Jackson, who looked like one of the best scorers, if not the best scorer on the Pistons, like peer scorers on the team last season for like the last 2 months. So it's like, you need to. I feel like you have to see those three guys in the rotation. Like, you just have to. They have to play, but you need to see them and find out about them. And I feel like you already know enough about them to where they should be in the rotation as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
So what that does is now it opens up that all three of those guys can play on the floor, maybe a little bit out of position, but you could stagger minutes and make it work. And then you have either Kelly Olynyk, Isaiah Stewart as the backup five man. So like those guys are two through four. We talked about the five man thing with Stewart and Olynyk. We don't have to get into that again. And then you either play Saben Lee or Corey Joseph at the point guard, you know, or you stagger minutes and Killian or Cade runs the second unit. So, I mean, I do think it almost opened up maybe where there's a little bit of a log jam. I don't know all, I know not all those guys play the same position, but now you don't necessarily have 11 guys trying to see time. It's really, as I look at the roster, I think it's just 10, maybe even 9. And then whether it's Corey Joseph or Saben Lee, you know, and that leaves Trey Lyles, Magruder, and Livers without playing at all. And then if it's Luka Garza or whoever. So, you know, I think it has cleared the way for those guys just a little bit.
Yep, and this will be my last point. I believe I said that already, but this for real will be my last point. One thing I think they may have looked at, and Bryce has brought this up, we may just be looking way too deep into this, but this one thing they may have looked at is the fact that, you know, Josh and Hami, like, they may not be the biggest guys, but they play big, and they play super physical, and they're super athletic. And Hamidou Diallo really likes, and Bryce has brought this up a lot, he likes grabbing boards and going length of the court. He likes getting active on the defensive glass and trying initiating transition opportunities. I wonder if they feel confident with Josh Jackson and Hamidou Diallo playing 3 and 4, like, enough to where it won't just destroy them. And their physicality and willingness to crash the glass and, like, run in transition, they may just be like, you know, we're just going to take two uber-athletic guys who like playing physical, and when they do get the glass, we're basically going to have four guys running in transition attacking at all different angles, and it's going to be hard to stop us. I wonder if that's, like, an angle they looked at as well by doing this, and they wanted to get these guys minutes, and they saw this as a way to do it. But
so real quick, I'll just say Saben Lee, Frank Jackson, Hami, Josh Jackson, Kelly Olynyk second unit doesn't – I wouldn't hate that coup. The shooting's a little bit concerning, but you have Frank and Kelly Olynyk out there. But that's a pretty athletic group that can – minus Olynyk, that can really get downhill, really attack. You have a couple guys that can spread the floor. Again, not to, you know, hammer the point home, I miss Sekou. I wanted him to stay, but that second unit, I kind of like that a little bit.
Yep, we'll see what happens. It's going to be extremely interesting once training camp starts rolling around preseason. We're only like a month away, I think. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting. I can't wait to see what happens. But thank you, Bryce, for coming on the podcast with me today, man. As always, I appreciate it all the time. I just want to say that, you know, this will be the last time you guys hear me talk about Sekou. He's no longer on the Pistons, but I do want to say that I wish him nothing but the best, and I really hope he makes the Pistons pay. I said this on the on Twitter, and people were like, oh, you're wishing for the Pistons to fail? No, I'm just wishing that Sekou goes on and becomes a great player like I believe he could become. I just hope he does that, and then we have Pistons fans saying, oh, you know, why did we trade him so early? And I can look back and say, you know, I said not to trade him already. But, you know, he's no longer a Piston, no longer our worries, but I do wish him the best. I will be following him still. I hope he – help me find somewhere he figures it out and he's able to reach that potential that he has. And it sucks that he's gone, but not that big of a deal for in the grand scheme of things. It just sucks for the fan inside of me. But anyways, thank you, Bryce, for coming on here, man. I appreciate it as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Just real quick, when you get done with this, if you have a chance, go check out Motor City Hoops. I had the Pistons historian Keith Black Trudeau on, and he went through the Till era with me, talking Grant Hill and all that stuff. Yeah. It's a longer episode, guys, but I promise you it's worth your time. It's worth the listen. Nobody tells the story like Keith Black Trudeau. So just wanted to plug that. Koo, thank you always. You know how much fun I have doing this, man.
Absolutely, man. And make sure you guys go check that out. Keith is like, it's crazy how much Keith knows. I know that's about to be a fun listen. I can't wait to hear it. But I'll check you guys out later. We have a special, special guest coming on next podcast. You guys are really going to enjoy it. Not going to tell you guys who it is, but it's a really special guest, and I think you guys are going to absolutely love it. So stay tuned for that. I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody, and have a great day.